In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. This sermon, my friends, comes with a holy risk and a holy ask that you bear up with me. It's one of the hardest I've delivered, and I may need to be rescued out of it. So I want to be very honest about that. Come, Holy Spirit, and visit the hearts of your faithful people. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. The call, it's uncomfortable. Matthew is revered as this exemplary tax collector. His abilities are well revered and very respected. The fruit of his vocation is oppressive to those who cannot afford taxes. Some have to give up their livelihood, their land, or cattle, which brings their families security. So food insecurity, housing insecurity, does this at all sound familiar in our day and age? But surprisingly, Jesus has captured Matthew's attention. Matthew can't recognize why, but he's absolutely drawn into the sphere of Jesus. Follow me. And Matthew does this immediately after Jesus says this. Tax collection. It provides amply for the Roman hierarchy and also for him personally. But now, however, he steps out behind the tax collection booth and moves into a new reality. It's immediate, and it's counter to the comforts that he knows in his current existence. Following Jesus in this way, Matthew abandons the oppressor's role. And in Jesus' invitation, we need to ask, what is God doing in the world in this scenario? What's going on? And what can we learn from Matthew stepping into a new reality? What metaphorical tax booth do we emerge from as we seek Jesus? I asked myself this question this week as I deeply pondered the gospel, and I was traveling to and from Charlotte and facing, for me, a new and scary ministry towards the end of this week. As I challenged myself in risk, I prayed to God, am I right? Am I wrong? Am I too fearful? Am I too concerned with what others might think? But I listened to the Spirit, and the Spirit always guides, and I was able to let go of this self-concern, of this anxiety and fear, just giving it over. And I, myself, emerged as an ally, as a friend to the LGBTQ+ community. I have even been cautioned by clergy friends not to over-identify myself in this cause. Many of you know that I am the proud mom of a gay son and a transitioning niece. And they are blessed in their created identity. I knew this in my son John as a toddler before it was even in his own awareness. It was very apparent to me. And I feared for him. I wanted his protection from sexual, from social assaults, from encounters that would tear away his confidence and his own sense of self-worth. I was often worried for his psychological health. And I had, as some of you know, a blessed mentor who assured me that this was not sinful, his self, that he did not need to be erased or socially repressed or pressured to rearrange his natural born state. So what I share with you now is the opening address, I got my pages backward, sorry, that my child John was a beloved creature of God, affirming that which I'd always known. And this was not an issue to worry about, he told me. And he affirmed me as a wonderful mother, which was one of the most precious gifts I've ever received in my life. And it's been a lasting blessing within my own family. You, as my community, have asked me to enter into the public square of this place, this county of Bradford County, and I have listened and I've responded with a heartfelt, faithful response. Where did I go and what did I learn? Well, I have met many brothers and sisters in Christ as part of the LGBTQ community who are deeply wounded in their marginalization by others. I have been sought out by them for conversation. And these brothers and sisters profess to a faith, but are yet held back by the judgment of others, incurring shame, depression, and isolation. So, a few weeks ago, I was invited to the Bradford County Proclamation Day for Pride, which was here on Friday past. And I feel compelled to expand on the words that were offered there in the local paper, which you may have seen yesterday, the weekend review. So I ask you, in your imaginations, to come with me and be on those court steps. Pretend that you're Matthew stepping out of the tax collection booth, and that you're drawn also by this invitation. The opening address was given by a Troy resident, Zachary Gates, who modeled his speech as an open letter to his own children on the importance of being an ally. And he offers himself as an outsider to this perspective. He says, as an indirect participant, as a child, I was really doubting my own abilities. I was bullied. And I felt like many of us in the last few days who have encountered this smoky place, this hard-to-breathe place with the fires that are going on in Canada. But my kids, you need to know that at the lowest point of my life, I was embraced by those in the LGBTQ plus community, not being asked to justify who I was. Gay coaches, bisexual friends, and queer teammates taught a great deal to those of us who had not received the love and respect that gave us confidence. Becoming an ally starts with being love and respecting those who can see the best in us when we can't even see it in ourselves. So kids, please be taught to never shy away from the truth. Many are being asked to change themselves, to cancel themselves, and this induces great suffering. This marginalization, they are stared at by the people they feed. They are despised by the patients that they heal. They're insulted by customers that they serve. And they are shunned, condemned, ridiculed, beaten, used, and abused, and cast aside by families and communities who would otherwise fully love them if they were not gay or queer. Becoming an ally means opening your eyes and hearts to the suffering of others. And I cannot speak for others, kids. We cannot know who you may love in the future. It is a beautiful mystery. And I will not pretend to know the stirring in your hearts and minds. There's a quotation that is shared between us, your mom and I. Be careful who you hate. It might be someone that you love. And as we raise you, we sometimes ask ourselves, will you be targets yourselves? Will you have to beg your community's permission to exist? You have talent, you have wisdom, and you have love. We pray that what you offer this world, you will be able to, and that you will be able to breathe. Being an ally is a desire for all persons to be the best persons they can be. He goes on to say, I'm a neighbor, a community leader, and a lawyer who's asked to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. I know the feeling of standing up for someone when no one else will do so. I know the feeling, and that is what I've learned. No one should have to do anything extra or to have the right family name in order to experience safety and full personhood in their community. Discrimination and harassment are not just illegal, they're choices that come with undeniable and social and economic costs. When business and scientific and artistic visionaries leave Bradford County for good, never to share their talents with us, it comes at a cost. When a teen or adolescent thinks that the world would be better off without them and fatally acts on that thought, that comes at a drastic cost for all of us. When children and young adults are made homeless for fear of safety, and when adult mental health suffers by needing to be guarded in public, when fear and shame consume that could be used more productively, those results come at a cost for all of us. Please know that some adults have a very different view than we, your parents, do of the LGBTQ+ community. We've raised you to be citizens of the United States, and we are raising you to negotiate in a world filled with many ideas. And we leave that to you to decide how each of these ideas sit with you. You will make your own decision about how you approach the world, but I suggest that you would approach this world with a healthy dose of grace. Abraham Lincoln was known to say, "I don't like that man. I must get to know him better." Becoming an ally means to continue to learn and listen, because if I'm honest, kids, I've not always been the ally that I am today. And thankfully, for listening more to the experience of others, I learn more. Model that willingness to bring people together in dialogue. You may come to learn that you may never change some others' hearts, and in our time, even in the church, we have taught you that maybe you may never be able to do that alone. But you can show deep kindness. Ask the hard questions. Wrestle with circumstances that are different than what you know. When neighbors engage with open hands and not clenched fists, misunderstandings can fade, and true respect, as full respect of citizenship, can be achieved. But we need to take on that examination now, kids. And as we know that you will be part of the conversation, becoming an ally means approaching conversations which you don't fully understand. And not because that's easy, but because that's hard. In your journey, you might feel that the injustice is just too great. You may feel an urge to give in to the anger and distrust that you sense and feel from others. And you might think that things aren't fair. Being an ally means taking victory and each setback in stride, knowing that everything happens in its proper time and in its own proper way, beyond our understanding. Kids, please take away from today's lessons the most important one. It is your job to lead with your integrity, to strive to bring people together. And sometimes you have to lay down your own credibility and your own hopes on the line to do that very thing. That act is part of leadership. And sometimes when you have the voice that others don't, your voice may be the only one that others will listen to. So use that voice, even when others say that it's not convenient for you. When someone tells you to be quiet, it's usually a good sign that you might need to speak up. You will find the strength, because as your brother's t-shirt says, love is my superpower. Now, becoming an ally means being brave even if you're scared. So you kids, with love and respect, I say to you, and more importantly, to all gathered, continue to shine your light. Continue to take pride in all that you have, to beautifully give to this world, and take pride in all of that you are. Find inspiration from your honesty And let your grace, intelligence, and compassion be your joy and the best and most brilliant legacy to our home in Bradford County. You can count on us as your parents. Be someone who others can count on as well. Become an ally. So to me, to hear this proclamation and affirmations on the steps of the courthouse a few blocks down was like the woman in our gospel touching the cloak of Jesus Christ. The affirmation of the personhood, of validation as a Christian, a message of love and acceptance was palpable. Seeing the faces of my beloved brothers and sisters, their inspiring taking in of words of hospitality were a balm of joy that day. You could almost hear a rush of like, oh, just, it was beautiful. And that the clergy of some churches stepped forward was also revelatory for many of them present. And it was a healing message for many. So my friends, I want to leave you with a final prayer. Dear God, there is a joy in learning, and we struggle to respond to the hurt which causes grief with the state of our world. What we do trust is that God is big enough for new ways forward among us. Spirit of God, encourage us to be movers and shakers in our day and our world. We are asked to embody all the ways that we are made in the image of God. Help us to respond in fierce compassion by expanding welcome to others. And may this liberate those forced to live in the margin by dismantling the barriers which withhold equity. We can be joyful as we become the authentic people in the world. And we ask Jesus, please assist us with your grace and love accordingly. Amen.